That show that we watched a couple episodes of, Manimal, could he turn into any animal?
I forget what the rules of Manimal were, but I imagine so, right?
It seemed like he just mainly turned into like big cats, right?
I mean, but
Yeah,
his name is Manimal. One would think that that like
right.
really
Well,
like leaves you open to anything.
I
it
agree with
seemed like a
you.
sort of like one of those shows where it's like a white person gets some sort of like
Mystic Native
mystic
American
Native
power,
American
yeah.
benefit, like, or I don't know where he got it. It might have been South America, or I forget.
Science.
But it's like clearly like an indigenous person's tribe or something, and he's just sort of this like colonizer has somehow like claimed the right to own
To
this
be
like
the animal.
totem or power to be the animal. And I don't either that or it's a curse. I don't think it's a curse.
So, according to Wikipedia, Manimal, it's very vague as to how Manimal gained the ability to turn
Wait,
into animals.
are
According
you
to
trying to
this,
tell me that they stopped at the
they
gimmick
didn't,
pun title and they didn't think the lore
yeah,
out?
I'm starting to
What?
think they didn't think this through. It just says something like he traveled throughout the world and learned the secrets that divide man from animal. But like, what the
Sure.
fuck does that mean?
It
Yeah, it
implies
just
that if we also learned those secrets,
right.
we
We could
would
do
be able
it.
to we could be manimals ourselves, or
Yes.
womanimals, as would be might be the case.
Thanks, woke culture.
It does drop like a lot of like he was in Africa and Tibet
Right, so
and
he learned
all.
like the mystic secrets of all the third
Yes.
world countries.
It just implies that there's just like some like technique you just have to learn out there. It's obscure. You have to go to some different places to figure it out, but all you need
You
to do
could
is
do it if
learn
you weren't
this.
so fucking lazy. Welcome to Why Do We Watch This, the podcast where three friends watch a bad movie, talk about what they liked, what they didn't like, and how they would fix it. I am your host for this mini episode, Brendan Drischler.
I'm Lee Delahanty.
And I'm Chris Ravel.
And we will be tackling some of that actually in this mini episode, despite it being a mini, kind of, sort of. So we'll be talking about, of course, the movie we'll be doing next. We'll also be talking about the theme for our summer. And then we'll be having a little chat that corresponds to the theme for our summer. So as we kind of had kicked around a little bit on our own, guys, 2026, Summer of Games, baby. Let the games begin. And by games, we mean exclusively movies that are adapted from some kind of game. That's right. It could be a video game, a board game, a card game, what have you. But guys, we are all about playing dem games this summer.
Yeah.
So.
I'm really ready. I think this is incredibly fertile territory just because it's much easier to locate absolute messes that have been adapted from games than successful ones. So we have a lot to choose from.
Yep, there are a lot of bad game movies out there, and to kick it off, we'll be starting with a pretty notorious flop as far as those go. We will be starting with 2010's Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time, directed by Mike Newell,
Did it get
starring.
the colon Sands of Time?
It did.
Yeah, it did.
It got the, and they didn't even. Oh.
It got the colon. They were really banking on this being a franchise.
Yeah, but they didn't even use those. Never mind. I'll also save it.
Save it. Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Ben Kingsley, Gemma Arterton, and Alfred Molina, a bunch of Iranians all.
Yeah, I
So
was gonna say, I love how Persian everyone in this cast
yes.
is.
Yeah.
It is wild to me because Sands of Time is probably the best entry of Prince of Persia. It's very good. And in my memory, I don't think it really has that much to do with the game itself.
No.
That's, I mean,
The
I've
game
seen this movie, but I do not remember it at all.
Sands of Time has one of the best, like, for the time especially. I mean, for the time of game narratives, one of the more well-written in terms of like narrative bones, like quality of writing stories in a video game, and just like art, like craftsmanship of the stare of the story and like presentation. It's and it felt cinematic. It's unbelievable that you can fuck it up this bad.
And yet, isn't that so often the way with these things? Isn't it
It
so
really
often the way that
is.
like these things lend themselves so well to a movie adaptation, and it just did not work well?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I will get into it, but my. I remember a good deal of the movie. I'd have to I'm gonna have to rewatch it, obviously, but I just remember them like watching it being like, why did the fuck did they change so much that did not need to be changed from a
Well, and
story
I
that was
meant
already complete?
we will
That's
definitely like get
usually the
into
way of
this,
things.
but that was definitely like, you know how nowadays people are a lot of times like slavishly devoted to its references and making it as much like a the source game as possible? Then was the absolute opposite. They basically, it doesn't make sense as calculus, right? Because they're like, we're going to get the audience that loved that game, but we think video games are really dumb, so we're going to change basically everything about it.
Yeah, that is unequivocally where we were then. And now, as you said, Chris, we are in the please, for the love of God, don't upset anyone by not including the thing that they loved in the game.
Right,
So
exactly.
perhaps that pendulum has swung a little too far in the other direction, some might say. But we will, of course, get into all of that in our next episode 2 weeks from now. And naturally, while we are watching Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time, we will need a delicious summery cocktail to accompany it. This cocktail was based on a gin Ricky, and the name I wrote down was Gin Princey, so feel free to consider changing that at some point. The Gin Princey is 2 ounces of gin, half an ounce of lime juice, 1 ounce of pomegranate juice, and club soda. Add the gin, the lime juice, the pomegranate juice to a shaker with ice, shake it till it's chilled, pour it into a glass over ice, top it with club soda, and stir gently, then garnish with a lime wheel. And that'll be the drink that we are making. Very summery, very simple, very bubbly. Hopefully it tastes good. We'll find out.
I am very ready. It does sound very delicious, and I imagine it's going to be quite warm by the
Yeah,
time.
well, I haven't looked. To be fair, every weekend lately has been like 50 degrees and rainy. So who's to say? It could be like th this could be the weekend where we needed the autumnal drink that we had on our last episode because it feels like it's November. But who's to say? We'll find out. It'll be a fun little mystery for all of us. How miserable will we be while we record Prince of Persia? So accompanying the Summer of Games, we thought something fun to do for the upcoming 3 mini episodes, including this one, would be to also take a look at 3 game adaptations that are looked on as being good adaptations, whether they are faithful or just function well as movies. It sort of runs the gamut there. So we were working our way through a list, and we had hacked it down to 3 good game movies, and we're going to, as I said, cover one a mini episode for the next 3 mini episodes. So this is,
Now,
go ahead,
just like
Lisa.
to interject about good.
Yes.
The opinions may differ amongst us,
Yes.
but we were going by money and box office and critical reception, a certain standard of well received.
Yes, and I think there's just a level of competence, right?
Yeah, and I think for some of this also, when we were just looking for titles, at least when I was literally just Googling like best game movies to see what people considered the best.
Well,
And I know that that's a low bar in
it
some
is.
respects.
Because to some extent, not all of them, but some of the ones we talk about that are good, quote unquote, are really just, it's a relative term, right? They just didn't suck. They were not totally hot
No one
disasters.
was embarrassed by this movie. So, like, you
Correct.
all walked away and you can hold your head up high. And then you do also have things like, for example, Clue is something we could have talked about, but we're not going to because Clue has been sort of done to death. But, there are a few, you could probably name like a handful of good video game adaptations, or sorry, just good game adaptations. So we're trying to go for ones that are maybe a little more off the beaten path in some respects. And so we thought we would start with 2021's Werewolves Within, which of course is an adaptation of the video game of the same name, which is just basically a video game version of the game Werewolf
So
or Mafia.
we're kind of having it both ways, right?
Yeah.
It's both it's not really a board game, I suppose, but
No, it's like a party game, I
it's
would
both a party
say.
game adaptation, but also the video game adaptation.
And it's a very simple, straightforward game where it's effectively one person is a werewolf and the other people are trying to deduce who it is. If they can deduce who it is, then they win. If they cannot deduce who it is, the werewolf wins. I'm simplifying it, obviously, but that's the basic gist of the game right there. It's pretty straightforward. There are various roles that characters will play in terms of, a certain ability or function that they might have, but by and large, it's a pretty straightforward game. The game
Yeah,
Werewolves
it's
Within. Sorry, you go
a
ahead.
genre of game, if I can get into that though for a second, called of like social deception. which is like a pretty common, it's kind of blown up recently, especially with like Twitch, and like it's an easy thing for like people to play with other streamers.
It's also something that like you don't need to really know a whole lot. Like you can go into this game with people who aren't gamers or don't play, because all you need to do, it's like a very simple thing to learn, and it's just you sort of stick with that.
And it lends itself to like entertaining moments if you're doing it as content creation, because like a lot of it is just like if you have a good personality or if you're like good at putting on a show, like most of the game is that. It's just like
It's a lying
you
game.
talking to people and like trying to, you know, talk
Persuade other
around,
people,
persuade other people that you're good and that someone else is bad or vice versa.
It's a very simple game, but it lends itself well to that sort of thing.
And the setup for the movie itself is basically that a park ranger played by Sam Richardson has come to this very small and, as oft repeated throughout the movie, weird town.
Beaverfield in
Do we
Vermont.
want, I guess, like, do we want to read the summary? I put the page up,
I
but we
guess
don't
maybe we
have to
should.
read all
It's kind of
summary.
a long summary, is the only weird thing. This
I was.
Wikipedia does note that this plot summary may be too long or excessively detailed.
Yeah, I was just going to put it like this. So he comes to town. He meets a wide cast of characters within this small town. A snowstorm blows in. They're all trapped within this, like, one. It's like a mansion that
Hotel.
was
It's
turned into a hotel,
yes.
basically. And there is very evidently a werewolf that is terrorizing them, does not kill that many people,
Well, it's a
all
werewolf.
told.
Yeah, it's a
Here's the
werewolf that has
thing.
terrorized the town for
There's,
the past
yeah,
several
it's
months.
evident to the audience that it's a werewolf, but everyone else is like, I don't know, I guess it's a wolf.
They're like, it's some kind of animal. Like there are
Yeah,
claw
they
marks.
don't get into it being a wolf until a few minutes in, but it's somebody, they find a dead one dead body. It starts with one dead body, and they're like, it's some kind of creature has killed this
Some
person.
animal
And
mauled him.
there's like a there's a ecologist staying at the hotel
Yeah.
who is like
She's the one
running.
that.
She's always like lifting fur samples off as the dead bodies begin to pile up. She starts to take these fur samples and is testing them to see what they are. And eventually she is, I think, like roughly half to two thirds of the way through the movie, she basically just tells everyone else like it's a werewolf.
Yeah, it's about
But
half. It's probably about
yeah,
half,
it's
but
about
she's
halfway
the
through,
one
I would say.
that calls it a werewolf, and by that point it's like attacked, it's killed one person and it's bit someone's hand off, and from that point on, like,
And a
everyone sort
dog.
of,
It's also killed a dog.
it's killed a
And
dog.
a dog.
Yes, and at this point, like, suspicions abound because they've realized that the wolf must be one of them, because it nobody got snuck into the house that they're all staying in, and so it becomes this game of this, like, you know, argument of like which one of us is it,
Who can
and
you
everyone gets
trust?
very suspicious, and people splinter off into their own houses and groups, and more people start dying, but not because of the werewolf, but because other
No.
people are like
Turning on each other and
turning on each other and have their own motives.
there was
Already,
ratcheting up the tension by
yeah.
Well, and there's already a pretty like nice ground level of interpersonal drama even before the werewolf shows up. There's this oil man who really wants to build a pipeline through the town.
The big I would say like the big thing, it's almost kind of like the secondary plot, is that there is a pipeline. A businessman is trying to get a pipeline built in this town, and the town's residents are split, where some of them are in favor of it because of like the financial gains they will get from it, and others are not. And so that's kind of the subtext to almost everything there. There's a few other things where some people are upset because of like affairs that have been had, or because of personal vendettas or grudges or things like that. But the pipeline is really kind of the big story aside from the werewolf of this. It's like the big it's the big thing happening in the town right now.
And
Oh
so
yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
it basically boils down to like the people in the town are end up going after each other, because mostly like after the wolf just kills like basically one person. And the rest of the town just sort of kills themselves until it's like what, four people left? It's like the old hunter
Effectively.
man, the bartender lady who owns the inn, and sort of our two main characters, who are like the ranger who comes into town, and this male woman, who is also relatively new to town, and oh, shocker, she's the werewolf. And so like she reveals that like she knew that this town was full of all these tensions, and so she knew she just had to like let something happen, like, you know,
Just sort of
light
set
a
them against each other a little bit.
firecracker, yeah,
Yeah.
go off and then like watch the chaos reign as it did. But the rest of the three of them managed to like subdue her and kill her
Yes.
in time.
Yeah. And so I mean that's pretty much the plot right there. There's other
Yeah.
things. There are other like characters who get killed off throughout and things like that, but by and large that's what you want there. Real quick, just to sort of go through some characters and actors just to name them. We have Sam Richardson as Finn Wheeler, who is the ranger who we mentioned. Milana Vine, I don't know, is it Vintrub? Is that how you say it, I assume?
Weintraub.
Vintrub. Okay, as Cecily Moore, who is the postal carrier. Catherine Curtin is Janine Sherman, who's the owner of the lodge that Lee mentioned. Excuse me. Glenn Flesher is the hunter sort of guy who also makes it through to the end. And then you have
Emerson, is that his name?
Emerson Flint, who
Yeah.
and then you have a couple of like more minor characters. Like you have Michaela Watkins, who wants to open a craft store with the money she'll make from approving the pipeline. She has a husband named Pete, who's played by Michael Chernus, who is just sort of like an unpleasant kind of
Yeah.
right-wing guy who seems to like hate everyone. You have a gay couple who live there as well, who are implied to sort of be from New York, who just kind of like moved up there, and everyone's a lot of the people in the town are a little bit like, oh, like these out-of-towners moving into our town. Who one of whom is Cheyenne Jackson, who is a tech entrepreneur, Devin, and the other one is Harvey, is it Guillen? Is that how you
It's
say it, I
Ian,
assume? Okay.
yeah.
As Joaquin Wolfson, who is who has like a yoga studio there. There's also a mechanic named Gwen, her boyfriend Marcus,
Who
and
is a kind of like in all but like on screen evidence, a crackhead couple.
There's
Essentially just like two drug addicts. I mean, they act like maniacs.
like there's clearly like something happening there
Yeah.
with their mental health.
They're just weird.
Yes. And then lastly, basically, Rebecca Henderson is Dr. Jane Ellis, who is the environmentalist who's staying at the hotel as part of an environmental study that she's supposed to be doing for this pipeline, but then sort of becomes the one to do research about what this animal attack is, and then is the one who says, I think it's a werewolf.
Yeah. I also
And
just want to point out that the director of this movie
yeah.
is College Humor star and Dropout star,
Josh
Josh
Rubin.
Rubin,
Yeah. Yes, it is.
who's very funny like comedic writer and performer.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
who
he
also did
also
Hard
Hard
Eyes.
Eyes. Yeah,
Yeah,
yes, which I
which
am interested in seeing.
yeah, I am too. I do want to see Hard Eyes because I've heard good things about Hard Eyes. But yeah, so that's Werewolves Within came out in 2021. At the time, it got generally positive reviews, I would say. People seem to respond to it fairly well as far as these things are concerned. You guys had not seen this prior to this, is that
I
right?
had.
You had? Okay, I
I
could not
had
remember.
not. I'd
You had
watched it
not.
not prior. I watched it earlier because I knew we were doing it for this.
Okay. I had
So this was
watched.
last night was
Okay.
my second time watching it.
Okay, I see. So I had watched this, I think, probably around October, just because I was looking for like Halloween things that I could stream, and I was a little intrigued that it was based on a game. So I had also seen this before. But Chris, this was your first time,
It
correct?
was, yeah.
Okay. Lee, what was your original impression when you saw it for the first time?
I mean, I liked it all right. I don't it, like it doesn't rock my world, but I don't think like it's just like in terms of it being like a horror comedy, I think it's like it's lightly funny. It's not like laugh out loud funny a lot of the
It's more
time.
amusing, right?
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
like
sensible chuckle.
amusing. There are some sensible chuckles. Sam Richardson plays this type of character well, but he's not given a license to be as like just
Sam
fucking weird
Richardson
and
as he
hilarious
could
as we
normally
know he
be.
can be.
Right.
Yeah. There were some bits that I really liked. Like I think I really remember like the liking the bit where he's like a good neighbor and then like immediately gets stabbed or shot or something.
Yeah. Yes.
So I did kind of like that. I thought it was like there was like an interesting I there was an interesting bit. I saw like a little bit of potential that I wish have been or threads that I wish have been picked up more, like the idea of him just being like, of Sam Richardson's character just being like too nice to be like made into a suspect or like a or like a to be like what's the word I'm looking for, a red herring, where she was like you're too fucking nice, like no one could
Right.
ever I couldn't do any it couldn't make anyone hate you or suspect you.
Yeah.
Because
Well, and
there's.
he's consistently trying to like mediate all of the
Yeah. Right,
conflicts
right.
as
He's
they're
right.
coming
He
up.
yeah, he's inevitably the one who will sort of like be like, "No, let's all talk about this and let's like, remember our basic humanity and all that sort of thing," which as Yeah.
you later find out is Milana is obviously like against, like that's going against her goal here in
Yeah.
it as a werewolf in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I had watched this, I think my reaction was really kind of like, "Eh." I feel like I was really sort of just kind of eh about the whole ordeal to the point that I had originally suggested we consider doing this as one of the bad movies. But then looking at the reviews and the reception for it, the general critical review or response to it was high enough that I felt like it would be sort of like incorrect to necessarily
Yeah.
label as a bad movie. And
I hesitate to say what we saw was a failure. I think it was on the whole fine to good.
I think fine is where I'm landing. Like this for me would be like a 2.5 out of 5 if you were to rate it as such. This is
Yeah.
really just for me right down the middle.
I think most of the things work for me, except maybe for two elements. One, I think it is really weird given the cast how kind of turned down a lot of the comedy is. I really think that that could have been gassed up a lot, especially because you have like Sam Richardson, Michaela Watkins,
Michaela
Milana
Watkins, I think,
Weintraub.
did get a lot. She did good with what she had.
She does as much as
Yes.
she can do.
Yeah. I think that I honestly think, and I was just checking the screenwriter. Their writing is the weakest bit. I think like that's where the comedy should have stemmed from, is more in the is in the writing, and I think that like the actors are being a bit held back by the
I do
material.
agree. Yeah, I do agree. I'm not super familiar. She is apparently Marc Maron's ex-wife,
That's what I saw, yeah.
which
Well,
I did not
and
know.
werewolf media is a bit of a thing for her because she was also a writer on Wolf Like Me, the werewolf romantic drama on Apple TV with Isla Fisher and Josh Gad.
Did that work better? Do you know?
No,
Okay.
no. It
No.
wasn't bad. It was just like very, it was pretty mediocre.
Okay, so maybe she needs to stop with the whole werewolf thing and like maybe try something different.
Honestly, maybe the umbrella issue here is writing, because the second thing that I felt like held this back from really being like great was I don't know about the two of you, but I was able to feel like very confident that I knew who the werewolf was maybe 20 minutes in, and I was right, and I just feel like, and I guess that it goes back to being a writing issue, right? Because it the hand just gets tipped too early. The fact that it's Milana Weintraub's character, is it feels very obvious, I think, just because A, she is driving a lot of the early action. She is also constantly trading gossip around, and it just, and maybe going into this, I have a lot of familiarity with the game of werewolf, so I understand the like distrust and suspicion is a really big part of that. But so when I noticed her being seemingly the instigator of a lot of rumors, or at least the vehicle for spreading these rumors around, I'm like, well, it's gotta be her. It also just didn't make any sense for it to be anyone else.
No, and I mean, also, as we said, she's a relatively new person to this town, and these werewolf attacks have not been happening for very long. So, like, there's also that too. And I don't want to say, because I also kind of relatively early on when I first watched this was like, oh, it's her, right? It's got to be her. And I don't say this as a I'm very smart and very good at guessing these things. It was more just, well, there weren't that many options as to who it could be, and the movie wasn't doing a good enough job sort of keeping the suspense going for me, so I had no other option but to sit there and think about the clues that had been laid out for me. And when you pause at all in this movie to sort of think about who it might be, it's pretty easy to draw that conclusion, I think. And that's kind of the problem. And I mean, like, I think maybe that's kind of my biggest takeaway is that the mystery doesn't work very well. It's not a scary movie for despite it being kind of a horror movie, it's not really scary. And it's also not that funny. So like if the mystery isn't working and it's neither funny nor scary enough to, have that going for it, that's kind of why I think it doesn't really work
I
for
need
me.
to I need to add my perspective in here. So, because you had asked that question, like, oh, when you guys watch it, can you figure out? So when I was watching it, there were two things happening in my brain. Narratively, there, so like, I think it depends on how, narratively speaking, it only makes sense for it to be the male person, Cecily. That's her name.
Cecily, that's right.
Like,
Yes.
if from a narrative perspective, right?
Right.
Because you want it to be somebody that is introduced early and isn't like an incidental character that we don't give a shit as a werewolf.
Right.
However, in the back of my brain, I kept wondering if they were going to do something with like some of the weirder stuff that was happening with Sam Richardson's character because of the weird sort of like assertiveness stuff they were doing in the beginning of the movie where they have him like yell through a tape
Right.
and like the stuff
And
about
say
like,
balls over and over again.
and like the,
Yes.
him like and him being really too nice and like him having that like pick the article and she picks up like, the article about like the attacks going and I was like are they gonna do some like Fight Club like Tyler Durden thing like is that up on the
Right.
table and I was like I don't like I was trying to watch the movie and do calculus at the same time of like I don't know if that makes sense or if they could do that but like are they trying to red herring it and say like it could have been Finn and try to have a smoke screen over the mail carrier but I don't know what they were trying to do but
I think that's fair, honestly. I do think that, like, if I think if you narrowed it down to two people who it could possibly be, it would be those two people. And then, like, as you said, basically, there's probably a way that you could somehow try and do the mental gymnastics in your head to try and figure out how it could be him. Like, oh, was he at the town, a month earlier for some other reason or something? And we'll find that out when he subtly mentions something that he knows something that he shouldn't have known or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's really just like, I think if you were to, even if you weren't fully sure who it was, you could have a 50-50 chance, I think, of getting it
Yeah,
correct.
but like I also don't think it matters if it's obvious or if it's guessable or not, in the case of this movie, because I don't think it's like Clue. Or even if it is, I think that it could have been like Clue where it there could have just been it could like it could just not have mattered and that you could have just had like
Right.
three different
Sure.
endings and
But
be like, actually it was the fucking mechanic.
To Brendan's point, I think something had to give this movie some level of tension and engagement or engagement, right?
The
So
funny is
that could
my
have come from the
problem.
Right.
horror, that could have come from the comedy, that could have come from the quality of the mystery.
Yeah, I
And
don't think the
because all
mystery
of
is the
those things were
issue.
so low, I'm left with being like, where do we get the tension from? And I would think, so I actually think they set up a pretty decent like handful of red herrings. I just think they get deployed way too late. So like we see that article about Sam Richardson's past in like the third act. That needed to come up way earlier. We needed a lot more doubt about him way sooner. The fact that he is so obviously not the killer is kind of a problem. And I think like it could have been Rebecca Henderson's ecologist doctor, because she's just sort of weird.
But she
Like,
gets offed.
but she gets
Right.
offed.
I mean
And also, like,
that's the
she
other thing
should have showed
too.
up way earlier.
Right, is that at a certain point, all these characters keep getting killed off. And I know that in theory, look, okay, werewolves aren't real, so there's no rules here, right? So, like, in theory, someone could have died and still been alive because they're a werewolf for some reason, right? Like, that would not have, I would not have, like, looked at that and been like, but that person was killed. How can they be back? So, like, yeah, I realize in theory that any of the characters who could have died might have come back as a werewolf, but nonetheless, at a certain point, we start killing off characters left and right. So, at that point, we're really at the point where it's like, okay, well, it's not going to be Michaela Watkins. It's not going to be her husband. It's not going to be like Harvey or Cheyenne or any of them. So, like, I think that's part of the problem for the mystery too, is just that these characters get killed and disposed of relatively easily, or just like, relatively like systematically as the movie progresses. And if you didn't have that, then perhaps you could sort of play a little more with some of them being red herrings, but they're dead, so they're kind of out of the narrative at that point. So I'm left with only X number of characters once someone dies, and then I just have to sort of think, well, this is still lining up with what I originally thought, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I like, again, I think people do have to die as the story goes on.
Sure.
I think what the I do think that, like, again, this, like, Clue is like a murder mystery. I don't think this is a murder mystery. I think what this I actually think one of the things that this movie does well is capture, like, the energy of what these games are, which is like a bunch of idiots who think they're Sherlock Holmes, like, killing each other because they're like, you're the werewolf, and then
Right.
just like killing off, like sabotaging their own game because they're killing off more innocents and making it easier for the werewolf team to win.
Right.
Is like essentially how a lot of these games go, is that like people are bad at defending themselves, and people are people think that they're really smart, that they figured something out, but they're basing it on like a bunch of spurious information. And I think again, like that ties into like where the comedy should have been coming from. Like again, you have moments like Harvey Guillen being like, well, in Argentina, if you're the seventh child or whatever, it's like, I guess that's supposed to be funny if you're like it if it's written better, it's supposed to be like a big like that should have been like a point of comedy. Like every moment that somebody is falsely accused. I mean, I guess in that case, she was correctly
Yeah, I know. In
pegged
retrospect, he was right
as a
on with
werewolf. Yeah, he was correct actually, but
that one.
like anytime somebody like falsely accuses someone of being a werewolf, it should be like, you know, a funny
Coming
moment. It
from a
should be
point of
like,
comedy.
yeah, coming from a point of comedy where someone says some really insane, stupid shit, and thinks that they have like figured it out. But it's instead it's just kind of like, I mean again, I think Bakila Watkins sells a really fun thing of like, I want my craft store
Yeah.
opened, or like, and
Well,
kills people
and
with like a
with
maple
the
syrup
syrup
tap.
tap, yeah.
I think in this movie's favor, the cast is extremely likable. Like, I personally like pretty much everyone there. So it's already like, I'm already willing to kind of lean in and, like, bridge whatever gap there is between me and this movie in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is too, also, despite the fact that, like, it has the trappings kind of one, it's not really a mystery movie in the traditional sense. So, like, it, in the same sense that, like, Clue is also not really a mystery because Clue has three other endings. So, with Clue, it's like, well, it could be any of them, and it doesn't really matter who any of them are.
Yeah.
Like, it's more just like you're along for the ride with that. And I think that's kind of what this is trying to do a little bit, where it's like, it's not so much that you're trying to guess who it is. It's more just sort of like that there is one, for something like that. And so I guess that is something that the movie kind of has going for it that I wish it was executed a little bit better, because, like, it's really more almost like a slasher, than
Yeah.
a mystery even, because it's just someone is killing. We know that it is a werewolf because the movie is called Werewolves Within. But we just don't know who it is. And so there are elements, sure, of a mystery there, but it's not really about the mystery. It's more about, I guess, the horror comedy of it, perhaps. And I
And
mean, also.
as someone, sorry, I just want to
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
as someone who watches really long Let's Plays of social deception games that are like really like a essentially a very complicated version of Werewolf. I will say, like, when somebody is like taking the time to like produce these co this content and edit it well, it is actually a lot more entertaining and funny if you as the audience know everything, have the omniscient point of view, and know like from the start, like, okay, I know who the werewolf or the demon is, and I know who everyone else is, and you know, an editor that is making smart choices of showing like someone cutting from someone saying like, okay, I'm going to go tell them this, and then it cuts to someone else saying like, well, I already know that what they're going to tell me is wrong because I'm this role. And so it's like when you get those moments, those are like the bits, that's the entertainment of like a social deception game, is like knowing that like people are like wheeling and dealing, but everyone only has a piece of the puzzle and nobody wants to share their pieces with the other people.
Yeah, and I mean, I almost think that, like, frankly, that could have made it a more interesting movie if perhaps you already knew from the start 100% who was the werewolf, and it's more of a question of, like, how are these people going to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost in like a Knives Out sort of way, where like, mm-hmm. well, you already kind of know the ending. It's just a question of like, and I mean, there's more to it obviously than that, but like, you already kind of know the ending. So how are these people going to figure out the ending?
Yeah.
So I don't know, that might've been something to it too. And I mean, the thing of it also too is like, if you're structuring this as a murder mystery, which I think the movie kind of is, I think part of the problem is that the killer is a werewolf. And so the werewolf doesn't have a motive really beyond just it wants to eat people, you know?
Right.
So it's like you have like she has kind of her villain monologue at the end where she talks about like turning these people against each other and how she knew that like these people suck. So it'd be very easy to do that. But like that's not really a motive. Like it would be one mm-hmm. thing if her logic was these people suck, so it's okay that I kill them. But like that's not something that she says. And that's not something that the movie posits. Like the movie not trying to make her complicated or multidimensional. There's not like a subtext to this. She's just killing people to eat them. So that's kind of like the problem I think I have with sort of structuring this maybe as a murder mystery, where it's just like, what is her motive for killing these people? It's like, there is no motive. She's a werewolf and she wants to eat them. So it's not really like a murder mystery in the sense that you need to figure out, like, because even like we've talked about this fucking before, obviously, with murder mysteries, but like even if you can kind of deduce who you think it is, you might not necessarily know how they did it or what the motive was. So you can yeah. still sort of sit there thinking like, well, I think it's them, but I haven't quite worked it all out yet, so I have to keep paying attention to pick up those clues. With this one, it's just she's a werewolf. The motive is she's a werewolf and she killed them by being a werewolf. So like the problem I think is that it doesn't really function as a murder mystery in that sense. And maybe like you said, maybe like if you knew going in who was the werewolf, it doesn't come across as a conventional murder mystery in terms of structure.
Right.
So you don't have to sit there thinking about like, well, there's no motive or, you know, weapon that I have to worry about here. It's just figuring out who the person is. If you already know who the person is, then you can just sort of enjoy the interplay.
Yeah. And it is weird. What I find it interesting about this movie, this isn't really a criticism or a compliment. This is just sort of I don't know. This is just a comment that I don't know what to make of it. Is that in a movie called Werewolves Within, and like it's got this like kind of like, I don't know, undertone, and it's about a werewolf who's attacking people and a lot of deception. It's like set on the backdrop of this like capitalist thing coming into a small town, and I'm like, is that just like for convenience to have like an antagonist thing, or am I supposed to read into that symbolically?
Yeah.
Is that part of the werewolf thing? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
I can't really make heads or tails of it, and I don't think it's connected to the title or the theme, but
I think
the fact
yeah.
that it's in there is confusing. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I think I 100% get what you're saying here, and I do agree with you, because I do think you could watch this trying to determine if there is a subtext.
Is there an anti-capitalist message in here?
Yeah, right? I mean, like,
there
could be. And I guess the anti-capitalist message is that, like, capitalism is bad, period, right? Because it's just like the werewolf
yeah, like, it wouldn't be
anyway.
That great.
Well, the weirdest part of it all is, like, so if the movie had an angle, you would think they would maybe give you an indicator of where the movie's sympathies really lie, but it doesn't really do that. Because like Michaela Watkins and Michael Chernus they're for it, but they're and so are the Hicks, but they're mm-hmm. extremely obnoxious and they're very like just odious and in it for the money. The gays are against it, but they're also very snobbish.
Right.
And
they're only against it because it would ruin their nice views. They're not
correct.
Really like altruistic.
Right.
And then the one person you'd think who like pays, I think, only like one or two lines of lip service to the idea that she's there to oppose the pipeline, the doctor, spends way more time just being a weirdo who knows about werewolves than they do ever really contending on that message.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fine thing to use as this like town-wide issue that is, you know, being used as like a button to press to make them fight. But it's not used
yeah.
enough in the actual conflict.
Honestly, like it could have been just as easily and also potentially more humorously if it was about like whether or not to replace the stoplight with a stop sign for the
right.
vice versa. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
right.
No. Where, like, no, that is like the pipeline yeah. is the ultimate MacGuffin. It could be anything.
Yeah. That's just like a something that the town wants to do. And if it was something stupid like that, it would be even funnier if people
Right,
wanted to kill it for
because
it.
I my one of my like bigger takeaways watching it again this time is that like I really don't like the pipeline thing, and I think that's partly because like it's irrelevant in terms of if your question is who is the werewolf, the pipeline doesn't matter at the end of the day. And I know like Lee, as you said, like maybe there is a world where the pipeline could be sort of like almost a diversion where it's like you guys are so focused on this fucking pipeline that you fail to notice that a werewolf is killing you or something like that. But also just like drawing in our current political climate makes this movie less fun for me, you know? Like when I have to like look at these people, I'm just kind of like, God, like you're the insufferable people that I have to like deal with living in this country every day. I don't need to like really watch a movie about people trying to put an oil pipeline in a small town. And like that's not why I watch a Werewolves Within movie. Do you know what I mean? Like
Also, in another instance of like movie almost trying to make a point, but then doesn't, and I don't know if it is supposed to be making a point or if it's just a joke. At the end, when the werewolf has this like big sort of villain confession scene, and she kind of makes like what did you think I was like? She kind of says this what amounts to like, no, I'm not a manic pixie dream girl. Nobody's like that. I was lying to you. And it feels like skirting around this idea of like men expecting women to be a certain way.
And maybe being like easily manipulated if a woman plays into that image.
But
I also
I was
believe
like,
she says in the same monologue as a defense for why she's doing it, girls gotta eat.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the moral also is that Sam Richardson is a good person and doesn't need to change. So it's not like it's sort of saying that like you are in your own way bad too because you sort of like fell into the idea of like this trope that this woman was presenting to you. It's just sort of saying like you thought she was nice and you too are nice, and that was the problem, I guess. The problem was that you assumed other people were also nice, I guess, maybe.
But for a second, it felt like we were getting to some idea of like some point of like you can't you like you know men seeing women a certain way, but I don't think that they were, because I think that we're squarely on the side of Sam Richardson's a nice person
Yeah, no, I
and
agree.
is just hapless and gullible.
Yeah, we're not supposed to think that Sam Richardson needs to change, really. It's just like maybe he needs to be like a little more street smart, but it's not that he's like a bad guy, you know?
So yeah, it's an odd it's there there's I again I think most of my problems here are in the bones of the narrative. It's from the writing. I do think that like overall it's the cast is great and they're doing their best work that they can with their lines.
I agree. I do agree.
And it's not like it's a well-made movie. Like I think
Yeah, no,
it's
it's a good
and
looking movie.
it
I mean,
looks
like
good and it works.
it's right, and it's shot like on location in a couple of different like New York State areas. So like it certainly feels like what it should feel like, if that makes any sense, you know?
I honestly think it's in a weird way, it was competent enough that I think it almost made my criticisms harsher because I was like, there are clearly,
There's talent
if not,
here.
if not in the narrative, there are the tools to have created something more with this. And I think the premise is very good. I think the cast is very good. I just think that. So it, you, but do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, you were kind of like so close here. And I still, like I overall enjoyed it. It's just I just cannot help but see the greater thing that it could have been,
That's fair.
I think it just
But
should have been weirder, bigger, like comedy bigger, comedy weirder. And like less, again, I think it needs to be more about like interplay between all of these people and like the like again the social deception aspect of it. That's like the core of those things is like the whispered conversations and the lying and the fuck ups, the mistakes of like people killing the wrong people and it being like a really tense game of like we don't know if we've won yet until there's like two people left and is one of them are we both good or is one of us a vampire or a werewolf or whatever.
Before we recorded, when we were just sort of talking about the movie before all of this, there was a very brief discussion about how many of these actors were recognizable. And I just wanted to point like just a couple things out. Like for example, Rebecca Henderson, the weird doctor. First of all, she's married to Leslie Headland. I would guess the thing that you probably would have seen her in would have been like she was really recently in The Acolyte, that Disney Plus Star Wars show. Michael Chernus is probably better known to Lee and I, but he's probably one of the more entertaining supporting characters on Severance. But he's also just been a character actor who's kind of been all over the place. Like, he was in Spider-Man Homecoming as the Tinkerer.
Right, I remember him from that. Because I did look some of these people up.
I don't remember him in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I do, because I'm a broken man. But
he was in a bunch of episodes of Orange is the New Black, as was Catherine Curtin, the woman who plays the keeper of the hotel.
Any relation to Jane?
No, I looked it up.
No, I thought so too. Honestly, at first I was like, is this her daughter or something? Yeah. But yeah, no, it's not.
But she was, it's been forever since I've watched Stranger Things, but she was Gaten Matarazzo's mother in Stranger Things.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like the thing I think I would say for a lot of these actors is like, they're good actors, right? Like everyone here is almost certainly a good actor who has done a lot of stuff. I think the thing that I have with this is not to knock some of their acting talents, which I think are all, like, by and large, as I said, they're doing good work. I wish more of them had been played by, like, comedy people.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, people perhaps who could have improvised a little bit more to sort of make up for some of the flaws in the writing. And so, you know, you obviously have like Michaela Watkins, which makes sense. Like, I feel like you need more Michaela Watkins type people in this movie.
What occurred to me was, because I would actually say, even though Sarah Burns is not nearly as big of a like name or recognizable actor as Michaela Watkins is, she was one of the cast members in Wet Hot American Summer, which is largely an improvised movie, right? Mm-hmm. And it did make me wonder if this was a loosely scripted improvised movie. I think we would be fucking in business.
No, that's
like,
true.
I think that would have been great. Like, yeah. And just think about, like, if you did stock this with improvisers.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if your premise for the movie was just basically, we are going to film an adaptation of Werewolves Within, where we're literally just going to dump a bunch of comic people in a setting and give them all the information that the people
and, like, the
playing a game would know. Like, if you're literally almost just playing the game, but, like, trying to make it more cinematic, you know? Like, I think, like, that's something there, frankly. Like, that's almost a movie right there. You need to do a little bit of work. But if you literally, like, did not tell the people, you know, like, if the only person who knew they were a werewolf was the werewolf and no one else knew, and you were just kind of watching people bounce off each other trying to work out who that was, that might be something, too.
Yeah. Did anyone else have any burning thoughts?
No, I think overall, like, it's like a tightly produced, nice, well-made, like, movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we've found a lot of flaws with it. We have, like, some issues. But I think, like, again, I agree with Chris that, like, the criticism can be harsher when we can, like, see how close it was to being, like, a really good, good movie. Like,
agreed.
It like, watching this was not, like, it was a very, like, enjoyable movie. Like,
yeah, it's not a painful. It's relatively it's short. It's not, like, unpleasant.
You're watching some people that I like to see. And I just think that it could have been, everything could have been, like, polished up.
It's
a diamond in the rough.
I would say, like, the one thing I'll just sort of throw in as, like, a vague fixed concept is I liked the setting of this a lot. Like,
me
I liked the
too.
Idea of setting it in a hotel. And I kind of wish that maybe most of the movie took place in the hotel or on the grounds, like if it were sort of like an old dark house style movie and, like, you know, maybe it's like an off-season ski lodge, or maybe, like, you know, it was built like 100 years ago and then, like, all the skiing moved to a different town or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why it's empty, but, like, they're still hopeful that maybe someday people will come back. So, like, I kind of, like, I liked the stuff in the bed and breakfast, and I wish more of it was there.
Yeah. I think, like, as long as it's big enough that there's room for, like, isolation and murders to happen.
Right. Right. So, like,
it would have worked. Yeah.
If it's a big enough place and if you have grounds and such like that, I think you could probably make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's it. I think it's, you know, the first up for our good movies. I'm excited for the next ones that we'll be doing.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got some interesting ones coming up.
You guys,
so,
I cannot wait to watch Prince of Persia again.
Yeah.
And to just rip it to shreds with you guys.
We're gonna watch Prince of Persia.
Yep. I'll be watching that tomorrow.
Yeah, and when we watch one of our next, I don't want to spoil our next good movies, but we're watching that together. That's a promise.
Yes.
You know which one I'm talking about.
I know which one you're talking
I
about,
need to
and that's
be
fine with
in
me.
the room when it
Yeah.
happens.
Because the room where it happens.
Yes.
Well, because I am very interested to see Brendan's reaction to
Yeah,
it.
no, I'm interested to see the movie in question because I think I will enjoy it. But we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, so as I said, 2 weeks from now, Prince of Persia, that's on Disney Plus, so you can watch it there. Website giraffepack.com, podcast on all the normal podcasting apps, and that's about it.
We'll buy it out.
All right, bye it out.
Bye.
Bye.